The Gospel reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks to you.
Down. Good morning, St. Mary's. It's lovely to be with you all today. Yes, Jesus is spending the Last Supper with his disciples. So it's a serious moment. He wants to teach them something important in this final opportunity to be together before he is led to the cross. What is he going to say? He is about to reveal something life-changing, not only for them, but for you and me sitting here over 2,000 years later. Let us prepare ourselves for this by agreement in a simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please open our eyes, ears, and hearts this morning so that we can receive truth and be cleansed through your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Jesus has already said in the past few weeks of our sermon series, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And today in our scripture from John 15, verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. Vineyards are a popular tourist attraction, aren't they? I visited several during my summer holidays in France and more recently in Corfu. A vineyard was a well-known site in Israel too. Wine was an important crop. Jesus' first recorded miracle was turning water into wine of the very best quality at a wedding in Cana. Significantly, the grapevine was often used as a symbol for the nation of Israel. A golden vine was draped over the temple porch in Jerusalem, portraying its fruit-bearing function. Their fruit was to give understanding of who God was to other nations. This was, and still is, their God-given mission, because we are told in Romans 11 that God's gifts and calling are irrevocable. God doesn't take them back. Jesus' Jewish roots qualify him as the true vine, with God, the Heavenly Father, as the owner of the vineyard and the gardener. And all those who follow Jesus, including you and me, are the branches connected to the vine. Now, I enjoy gardening, but I've never grown a grapevine. Phil Manning, our former Seamus worker, was showing me the grapevines on his allotment at Trinity College the other day. They're still very small, bit like this, it's just a twig at the moment. But he does have some wonderful wheat that's really golden and waving in the breeze there. So he's hoping that if these wonderful summers continue, he'll be able to produce a bottle of communion wine one day and a loaf of bread. So watch out as Britain gets hotter. Like sheep rearing, I have discovered that grapevines need a lot of attention. Their main aim is to produce lots of high quality fruit, i.e. juicy, sweet grapes. I've got a sample here in the basket, but I'm going to put out by the coffee after. You can have a sample if you like. Brian's been putting on a few pictures I found of vineyard scenes. The branches are going to bear the fruit. And Jesus explains how to get the best results by pruning. Here we are, the pruning shears. Grapes are a two-year crop, which means that the branches formed now will come into fruition in the next year. With the correct pruning, a branch can mature and become increasingly fruitful for 40 years. 40 years, you can be having grapes from the same branches. Because the correct pruning removes unwanted suckers, which form at the junction of where the vine and the branch meet together. And if you cut off the dead wood and take away bunches of small grapes that are in excess, helping to make the other ones become large and sweet. In practical terms, fruit means good works, a thought, attitude, or action of ours that God values because it glorifies and honors him. Like taking a meal to someone who is in difficulty, or sharing your testimony. They're fruit in your lives. And there's that's the outward fruit. But you also bear inward fruit when you allow God to nurture you into Christ-like qualities. St. Paul gives a list of these in Galatians 5, doesn't he? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. That's 9, I think. 9 fruits of the Spirit, helping you become more like Jesus Christ. Anyway, to apply this to our lives this morning, you could write 100 sermons on this passage, incidentally, but I've taken the view of 2 main points, which I hope at the end you'll remember, because it's just 2. And the first one is the direct connection, the DC, the direct connection. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A command and a promise. Branches cannot sustain themselves. They must be connected to the vine, which brings nourishment. In the same way, we have a direct connection with Jesus Christ himself, a personal relationship with him. It has been pointed out that this makes Christianity the most unique faith in the world. No other faith offers a personal connection with its founder. The Muslim does not claim to be joined to Muhammad, nor the Buddhist to be joined to Buddha. But as a Christian, we can be joined to Jesus Christ. To maintain such a close relationship, suckers need to be removed so that a seamless bond will be able to form between the vine and the branch. These represent the wrong things we do, the sins we commit at times, and the Holy Spirit will alert our conscience to convict us of it. Perhaps, for example, this is me sometimes, we know that we're time wasters. Time is so precious. Time spent in reading the scriptures to hear God speaking to us is always time well spent. Giving help, showing compassion to those less fortunate, showing love to each other by overlooking offenses. The list goes on and on. God knows where we could more usefully spend our time. As we remain in Him, He will show us openings and opportunities, like some have found in helping the refugees from Ukraine, Hong Kong, and Afghanistan to settle in Bristol, for example. The discipline to do this will inevitably bring its reward of inner peace and development of Christ-like character, with increased fruitfulness in our missional efforts to talk about Him to others. Then we shall begin to look more like Christ, just as the fruit of a pear tree looks like a pear, not an apple, and that of a grapevine looks like grapes and not cherries. Now, the second point to emphasize is that fruit production is seasonal. Fruit is not produced all the year round, is it? During the winter, the vine has a rest. This can be a time to recalibrate our lives. Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. Without the changing seasons, vineyards would never bear fruit. It's God who determines the seasons of our lives, when to prune, when to feed, or when to harvest and bear fruit. No season of ministry goes on endlessly. We can't be harvesting crops all the time, and we should be open to see that a task has been completed and be ready to let go and move on to other things that Jesus wants us to do. It's hard sometimes when a member of your team or friendship group feels that the call of God to move on has come and we have to let them go. This has just happened to one of our Oasis team who served the students on the North Village campus here in Stoke Bishop, Bristol University. A really valued member is moving on, going to live in another city. But incidentally, if any one of you with a heart for students feels like you're called to join our team this autumn, please let me know. You might be very welcome. Sometimes it can take a part of a lifetime to be prepared for God's big plan in your life, for it to come into its correct season. The children of Israel, for example, in Deuteronomy 1, spent a winter season of 40 years in the wilderness before God had forged a people ready to occupy the promised land and be fruitful. I've just finished reading a book by Dr. Natalie McDermott, who tells her story of taking a leading role in the fight against the Ebola virus in Liberia, in the outbreak of 2014. The book is aptly called Dare to Trust, Choosing a Life of Risk. As a 12-year-old, She borrowed a book about the Ebola virus, which touched her heart deeply. She became a Christian in her teenage years, and when she felt God's call to be a doctor, she studied medicine at Cardiff University. During her prayer time one day, during her training, she heard God specifically say to her, "Natalie, one day you will work with the Ebola virus." That day came when, against all the odds, as a young doctor in her early 30s, with limited experience of life in rural Africa, she was sent to Liberia under the umbrella of the Samaritan's Purse, founded by Franklin Graham. It was a tough assignment because the Ebola virus is deadly, causing widespread internal hemorrhaging and is infectious by contact. Fortunately, within a year, the fight was eventually won, as you may recall from the world news reports at the time. Reluctant to accept, Natalie was nevertheless rewarded with honors by David Cameron, the then PM, and she became an authority on the Ebola virus. Natalie subsequently wrote this: "God has a plan for all our lives, and that plan has been in existence since we were created. Even though we may not know God, He already knows us and the plan He has for us. That plan doesn't necessarily start when we become a Christian, but it takes on a new meaning when we do. He prepares us for what lies ahead, even when our vision is limited. God will grow the desire in your heart, growing the seed and watering it until the time for Him to open the door has come, so that you can enter into the season of fruitfulness." She ends saying, "He's a good, good Father, and we can trust Him to guide our lives." That inspires me, and I hope you too. So now it's time to come into land, as we say now here at St. Mary's. Let us remember the two points made here earlier. Firstly, the direct connection. By remaining or abiding in Jesus Christ so closely that this will ultimately bear a rich harvest of sweet fruitfulness in our lives, fruit that will last and not rot. Jesus calls us to be His friends. All we have to do is receive from Him all that we need to fulfill those plans for our lives that were made even before we were born. And also, don't let us forget that second point: fruit growing is seasonal. Don't be afraid to move into a new season when one door closes. It has to close before you can go through the next open one, even if it takes time and patience to wait. Finally, as we obey His command in verses 12 to 13, "Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And we remember that that was precisely what happened next, as Jesus got up from that supper table, knowing that in a few hours He would be walking to His cross. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask to remain in You so that we can always be as close to You as possible. We give You permission to take anything away that would keep us apart. May we grow more like you and love each other, waiting patiently for the right season to produce fruit worthy of our friendship with the true vine. In the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask these things. Amen.